Let's open our Bibles, and we're going back to 1 Peter, and tonight we're in the fourth chapter. And tonight we're going to focus on, so specifically and sweetly, suffering. And there seemed to be a real issue with this, with these different brothers and sisters. We read that from the very beginning, that these were Jews that had come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so wonderful, but they were being persecuted greatly at this time. And tonight this chapter really focuses in on that they were concerned with suffering, but what happened was is they got focused on the suffering and not the purpose of the suffering. They got focused on, well, Lord, when are you going to bring judgment on these ones that are bringing so much pain and suffering in our lives? Lord, when are you going to deliver me out of this suffering? As opposed to say, God, I'm going to commit it to you, and thy will be done. And I think it's such a wonderful portion of Scripture here tonight, and we'll just ask God to bring it forth. Verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. I love that. You better get armed. You got a battle. You ready for battle? This is how you're going to do it. You got to arm yourselves. Likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now, the thought here is Christ's mindset as he endured the suffering for us. And I have to think how awesome this is, that in all that suffering there was only one thought. And praise be to God, it was the joy that was set before him. All the way through, but specifically upon that cross, it says he endured that cross because of the joy that was set before him. He saw you. He saw me. That wonderful joy that was before him on that cross was you. He was dying for you. He was dying for all man, but he was dying for you. And he saw your wonderful face. I really do believe that he knew that this was the way that God had chosen that would bring the family to God. Praise the Lord. So that joy that was set before him is love. It's all about the love that he saw before him upon the cross that brought him through. And so in that, it's the same for us, brothers and sisters. And the question is, do we see the same love for him? Do we see the purpose in that suffering that is bringing, by the grace of God, us closer to him? He is one. We are one with him as his children. But again, going on into that agape love with him. The question is, are we affixed on our sufferings or are we affixed on his love? Are we caught up in our sorrow or his glory to be revealed in us? Brothers and sisters, we fight the good fight of faith in his love. That's what's arming ourselves as we go out, as we live our lives, as we face the suffering, as this verse is saying here, arm yourselves with his mind. It's the only way you're ever going to be able to do it. It's the only way you're ever going to conquer. But the one thing is once you get the mind of Christ in a situation, it's victory. Because you know the victory is there. He knew the victory was upon that cross. He knew that in that death that he was committed to his Father, that his Father would allow him and empower him to rise again. Isn't that wonderful? Knowing that. That's why the devil did everything to keep him off of the cross. Because once he got on there, he knew it was finished. Praise God. So see, that's the mind. That's what he's offering to us. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind he's asking us to have, offering us, pleading for us to take. And when we finally see that, we have rest, brothers and sisters. When we yield, we have complete confidence in his love. And that's when we allow him to will and to do of his good pleasure in our life. That's a big one. It's a huge one. When we allow that love to come into our life, to flood our lives, that we see the purpose of suffering in our life, as we continue to follow Paul as he followed Christ, we understand that we can actually rejoice in these times. Because the very power of Christ is resting upon us. Isn't that wonderful? Do we really believe this? Well, this, when we enter into this believing of God and His Word, He causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And let me tell you something. His pleasure has nothing to do with sin. Do you see that in that verse? He that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. His pleasure in me, His pleasure in you, turns our life from sin. We begin to live and function in faith. And that's the truth. That's what works in us, is His wonderful love allowing us to believe Him, having faith, because we understand that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So praise God, when I'm operating in faith, I know that I have ceased from sin. I've gotten the victory in that. Now, I want to make sure we understand, as Brother Paul said, don't let sin reign in your life. Do you understand that? Sin is going to be there. Absolutely. But I believe that this ceasing from sin is the reigning of sin in our life, to where it's directing, to where it would be leading and guiding your life. God forbid. In faith, I know who leads me, because it's the mind of Christ. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Well, isn't this wonderful? It's time for our reasonable service to surface. It's time to redeem the time. It's time to make it count. And by grace, oh hallelujah, to propel me from the good to the acceptable to even the very perfect will of God. Colossians 4:12, it leaves no doubt. It says that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Did you hear that? That we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has that for His children? I hope you do. It's not to sit there and say, well, that's a nice thought of a somewhere, God, but I know there's no way I can get there. Well, you're right. There's no way you could in your strength, but He's already made the provision by grace through faith that if I'll let Him, if I'll put that confidence in Him, if I'll allow Him to work, as we're talking about sufferings here now, He'll bring me there. All the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, may we not neglect so great salvation, just like our dear brother was praying about. God help us to redeem the time. God help us to really believe Him at His Word, that we may grow up into Him in all things. Brother Copley, I appreciate how he said it. The very mature sons of God, they're perfectly symmetric. They're perfect symmetrical. They're beautiful. Every way you could look at them. They don't have... I remember when we used to go to the weight room. And there'd be guys in there and they'd be lifting those weights and all that. But every guy, and you ask all the weightlifters out here, all they wanted to hit were the guns, right? And, doing this, right? And they had big old biceps. And those were the guys, and you could always tell, that wore the sweatpants in there. Put the shorts on and we'd say, look who's riding a chicken, right? But see, that's how we are when we don't allow faith to be exercised in every bit of our life. We can laugh about it and it doesn't look right, does it? It's out of proportion. It doesn't match. That new creation wants to come out and be mature in every bit of our life. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't want to miss it. That bride is completely ravishing to Him. She's perfect in every way. She's absolutely mature. That's what God wants for His Son. Praise the Lord. What a thought. To finish, to apprehend, to obtain, to win. Those are some wondrous words. Christ, my bridegroom. Verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. That's just walking in an evil heart. Lusts, excess of wine. Revelings, that's the pleasures. Banquetings, that's drinking again. Must have saw something coming. How drink can get so many. And abominable idolatries. Gentiles here, is he speaking to. Wrought the will of the Gentiles. You look up that word, and that word there really means beasts. These are heathens. When you're not operating truly in God, you're operating basically almost even as animals. It can come to that. It really can. Go ahead and read the first chapter of Romans, what happens when we leave the thankfulness and leave giving glory to God. It's there, and it should alarm you. But this is speaking of the heathen here. And it's saying how these ones had run with those heathen. And he's saying here, have you had enough? Don't you think you've had enough? Can we call it quits? Have we finally got our fill of the wasteland that is out there? The drink that will never satisfy? Amen? Amen. And not neglect so great salvation? And how about setting our heart and setting our affection on the things above? Verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them. So here they go. They've become Christians and there they go. They're not running with them. To the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So you see, they don't quit, do they? And you know what I'm talking about. Brothers and sisters that have come out of the world, young people that have said, you know what, friends? You're really not my friends. Jesus is my friend. And I'm parting. I'm going to live the life. I'm going to really live who I am. I'm a child of the King. That's not me. I may have been messing around with that, but that wasn't me. I'm a child of the King. But the thing is that they don't want to let you go. And this is what it's saying here. Their eyes don't see, nor their ears hear, because they don't have an understanding, because it's been darkened. And what happens, brothers and sisters, when we turn our lives to God, it convicts them. And sometimes the only way that they can act out is to ridicule you. And it comes in different forms. You think about as you go on with God, they might call you square or a church boy or an idiot. A lot of different things. What's happened to him? And they pull at you and they try to bring you back. They do. Because that's what they remember. But you have to remember that's not you. That died. That died. And now the life I live, praise God, is His life living in me. I live by faith. Sometimes it can even get to the threatening of life. And see, they're just so belligerent in their ways that they try to grip and to bring you back. But you know what? They don't get away with it, because let's read verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? See, God will not be mocked, is what it's saying here. The word judged here means to distinguish. And it means something to distinguish, to show the difference between the two. And he is going to show the difference between the two. And let's talk about what these two are. This word quick, it means quickened. The word is zao. It's 2198 in your Strong's. It means to be made alive. And the only ones that have this kind of life that have been made alive are the children of God. If you're saved, you have this life. This is the new creation. This is His life. You have been quickened, praise God, in Him. And you will be judged for reward. You'll find this in John 5:21. I'll give you some verses here. 2 Timothy 4:1, Revelation 20:14, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We won't turn to those, but you'll see some references to that. And there's many more. But in Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, it ends with, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." All right? Now, this is the dead that we're talking about here. The quickened are the ones that know Christ as Savior. This dead, and the reason I'm bringing this out is because in the next verse, the dead that we're going to talk about there is different than this dead here. But this is the wicked dead, and there is a judgment prepared for them, and they are not going to get away from it because God is going to judge that, and it is coming. Now let's go on to verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. And if you have a Scofield, it says there, that little footnote, it was preached to them that are now dead. All right, that are now dead. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And that word live there is 2198. Same word as 2198 there, quick. It's the life of Christ. Now let's break this down. The cause of the gospel, brothers and sisters, is to save us from our sin. That we would grow in faith and grow in love. But these dead here in the sixth verse are different. These are than those that were the condemned dead in verse 5. These are saved dead. And how do we know this? Well, first off, we know this, that a Christian's judgment, and we read this back there in 1 Corinthians, that judgment is going on right now. Christ's judgment seat for Christians is ongoing now. He is judging you for reward. The judgment of the second death or the wicked dead, you will never face. That's why when you hear Christians say, well, we're all going to stand before the great white throne of judgment, that's not the word of God. We are being judged right now before the judgment seat of Christ, not of eternal life. That's already been given to the children of the King. You will never be judged for that second death. You are His. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But right now, it's how much are you going to grow? Isn't that wonderful how Christ is? How much do you want of me? How much reward do you want to take? This earthen vessel, how much of the treasure are you going to allow me to put in there? And that's it. How much are you going to allow me to magnify my Son in your life? And that's what God is asking us. That's what God's after right now, that we may magnify His Son in these earthen vessels. Praise be to God. So, if I am sinless and perfect before God, it's because of the blood of His Son. And then obviously there is no sin to judge. It's just reward and how much of Him is going to grow in me. It is simple. Our judgment is while we are here. So these dead are the dead in Christ. These are the saved ones that have gone on. And the gospel, as it says here, was preached to all of us that they might be judged. And again, that word judged means distinguished. The gospel in us distinguishes us. It distinguishes us now, and it will distinguish us forever, because the Word of God will go on and on and on. It's the only thing that will last. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God is what distinguishes us. And the Word of God distinguishes us from these wicked ones, from these sinful ones that were there in verse 5. And it goes on to say here, according to men in the flesh, but live. Hallelujah, quickened the Zao life. Christians are quickened together with Christ according to God in the Spirit. Now, I believe it even goes on further than this, not just to differentiate us from the sinner. Doesn't one star differ from another in glory? Do you see how you can't stop this? You can't limit God. God is showing forth His infinite mercy and grace, and it goes on and on and on. So again, how much brightness, how much glory are we going to receive of Him? And praise God that He's offering it all to us. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. He's even saying this back then. But be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. What he's saying here is wake up. Wake up. Take heed. Praise God. The end of things is at hand. And yes, the new heaven and the new earth is about to arrive, brothers and sisters. But more importantly here, the time to be ready for the coming of the Lord is about over. It's about over. You turn on your TV, you read the news, you better realize it's about over. Men are looking so intensely to try to put their faith in a man at this time. Oh yeah. They are looking for a man to solve all of the problems like never before. Whether it's our Fed chief, huh? Oh yeah. Solve it with your wand. Make my money stronger. Give me more in my pocket. Or a president. Get us out of these wars. Huh? They're looking in all the wrong places. Don't ever put your confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils. The answer was, is, and always will be Jesus. Yeah. War is in the heart of man, brothers and sisters. I don't care what kind of package comes at you. I don't care what kind of smile is on it. I don't care what kind of promises come out of those lips. If it's not following faith, there's no chance. War is in that heart. Oh yeah. You corner it, you push it far enough, and it's going to have war. And I'm so thankful that God has given us this word, because I see a time of a white horseman coming in here pretty soon. And he's got a bow. Strength. But no arrows. Time of peace and plenty and safety and all of these things. It's just about ready to be announced. But the rumors of war, the killings, the murders, the rapes, they're going on like they've never gone on before. And that's the truth. Absolutely. It's here. And he's saying, wake up. The end of all things is at hand. And the time to be ready is now. Let's go over and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Actually, chapter 5. And let's begin reading from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. The call is for us to love His appearing, to be looking, to be ready. The majority of Christianity today is in a slumber. I'll even go as far to say a coma. I'm not kidding. It's barely beating. Those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. May we shout forth the good news to wake up. Quit turning towards things that are just tickling ears. Let me tell you something. I've seen it. It takes one generation and God departs. Don't neglect it. I've seen people that were really on fire for the things of God, and they have kids that have grown today that still don't know Him as Savior. Don't ever say, oh, not me. But for the grace of God, there go I. Lord, I need Your Word, and I need it every moment of my life. I need it flowing. I need to be saturated in it. God help us to stand and to withstand. And having done all, stand. Know it. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Oh my. What do you think? I think it's worth it. I see a lot of fringe benefits from getting out of here. All over the place. Absolutely. And you know what I'm talking about. But the only early exit is for the one benefit that you're looking for, and that's to win Him as bridegroom. Got to have the vision. I appreciate how my dad always used to teach me about things. He said, you know, son, you have to see it to be it. You got to have a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Without that vision fervently burning within you, I think brothers and sisters will miss it. It has to be something that we desire. An I will go has to be the banner over us. That, Lord, yes, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that you want to bring to me. It's you. It's you. And it finishes up there in that seventh verse. I appreciate it. And watch unto prayer. Being prayerful always, in all things, brothers and sisters. Constant communion with God. It's vital. And it's vital for a readied heart. Constant communion with Him. All right, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So, look at this. Above all. Most importantly is what he's saying here is fervent love. Amen. And this word fervent is wonderful. It means stretched. It means increased. This is a love that is beyond you. This is a love that's beyond me. This is the very divine agape love that Brother Peter finally had to learn that God said, obviously God the Son said to him, Peter, do you love me? Now, I believe, brothers and sisters, this is the precursor encouragement to Paul's there in Ephesians 3:18, where he said, that I may comprehend. You getting that? That I may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's being stretched. That's when I get to the end of me and I say, Lord, you got to take me on. Lord, I can't love anymore in this. Lord, I'm going back to my old ways. I can sense myself, God, going back to my bitterness. And I got to that point again and I thought I got over it, Lord. But here you've brought it back to me again. And I'm going back into the way that I want to operate in my old man. You better stretch. Better say, Lord, fill me. Whatever it takes, God, this wicked way that you've searched and found in me, let's get rid of it. I love it. I do. The purpose of suffering. It's getting you ready. And you can either say, God, get me out of it. You can either say, as these brothers said, God, judge them for it. Or I can look to Him and I say, Lord, I commit it to you. And I thank you for it. God, help us to get there. That other stuff isn't you. That murmuring and complaining, that's not you. He's given you that life that was upon that cross, that was armed. The very mind that could say yes. Because of the joy that's set before me, Lord. It's you. It's you. I'll endure this. Praise God. See, this is His love here. A lot of people try to think it's a lot of different loves there in the eighth verse. But let me tell you something. I only know one love that was able to cover the multitude of sins. Huh? Clue, hint? No, it's called a hammer right between your eyes. It's the love of God, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. This can happen. Oh yeah. We can actually be courteous without complaining. We can actually allow willingly and joyfully to come and sup with me to receive the blessing. See, when you face these things and you don't do it willfully and joyfully, you've missed the blessing. You've missed the glory. Sure, you suffered, but did you receive the grace of God in vain? Did you make it void? Huh? Mom, put these scriptures together. Let Him work it. You're going to suffer. Absolutely. And as a child of God, He's got these appointments, these scheduled appointments that we've been reading about that He wants to bring you to. And please, by the grace of God, show up. Lord, I'm here. I understand these are the greatest appointments that I could ever have in my life. Now let me be patient. There's some appointments I don't like to go to, whether it's a dentist. No offense, I don't think we have any out here tonight. I remember getting in business, the phone call from the lawyer. Ooh, got to have an appointment. That wasn't a good one either, huh? No. These are the tests. These are the trials. The greatest wealth that we could ever have, brothers and sisters, and God is bringing them to us. And He's saying, be willful, be joyful in this. And in this ninth verse, I think it's important, brothers and sisters, this isn't just the giving of hospitality. This also refers to the receiving of this kindness. We need to be able to receive things without question. Huh? How about receiving things without doubting? How about just resting in that it's from God and not from that vessel anyways? How many times have we said, did they really mean it? Huh? God forbid. You know what? I'm learning to leave that with God. Leave it with God. You know, we better stay on the lovely and the good report. You see how quickly we can get over to old man. Amen. All right. Still here? Oh, pretty weak. All right. Verse 10. I'll just chalk it up to your tire. All right. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards to the manifold grace of God. Now, on the surface here, yes, it's speaking of the gift of this hospitality as it's been given to every man, looking upon the need of our brother. It's a wonderful thing. But as the Word of God always does, it goes much deeper than that. We're talking about the gospel of Christ. Every man here that has received this is talking about Christians. Praise God. And giving and receiving of the love of God, believe it or not, it's reserved for Christians. If you're not a Christian, you cannot give out or receive the love of God. You have to receive the gift. You have to have the gift. And the gift is His Son. Praise the Lord. How simple. The gift, Christ, by grace, not works. And here it is. We're encouraged to shine that light to the world. To minister the Word of God. Didn't realize that we had so many ministers in here, did we? I won't say any more. But we're here truly to give out the Word of God. And you might say, well, I really don't know anything. Well, Brother Paul said, I know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So if you're a child of God, you know that. Praise the Lord. So he's got something to begin with, doesn't he, here? Hallelujah. And let the Spirit give us utterance. Let him come in and allow us to speak and to magnify his Son. Good stewards, it says here. Praise God. Being ready. Remember reading this one? Being ready to give every man an answer about the hope that lies within you. I hope that that's what they ask you. I hope they don't just get around you and start crying and go, "Oh, we're all feeling bad with you." No. How about, tell me about that hope that's within you. Tell me about that tidal wave that just hit you. And how you're standing there. And maybe even standing there with Shekinah glory all over your face. And say, "I understand what God's doing." That's right. We're hitting on it. We're getting there. By the grace of God, he's bringing us there. And these are the manifold, the many-fold, those layers upon layer upon layer of the grace of God that he's bringing to us. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now there's a couple thoughts here. There's many thoughts here, but a couple I want to bring out. The oracles of God, that's his word. Speak in and with his word. And then the other thing that it's saying here, which is interesting, is it also means to be concise. Get to the point. Preach the word. Don't need to give you a lot of different things. Let's just preach the word. I'm thankful that there are those, and however Christ encourages you to give a Bible study or whatever it would be, but it's line upon line. It's verse upon verse. That's how God has encouraged me in this vessel to approach the Scriptures. Now, we'll go and glean from the Word of God as you bring it in here. But let's just allow him to build these things upon and in our life. And it's important. And you best not skip Peter because all that one's for the Jewish Christian. I've heard Christians say that. I've heard Christians say, "Oh, the book of Revelation. That's for when Christ comes back to tell us about it." I'm not kidding. Oh, yeah. See, that's what the enemy can do. He gave us this word. And he said, rightfully divide the word of God. Didn't leave any of it out, did he? Get in there. Praise the Lord. And that a spirit will reveal it to us. But it says, preach the word. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do it in God's ability. What do you think? God's ability. See, without his anointing, brothers and sisters, it will fall flat. Don't try to be anyone. Don't try to fill anyone's shoes. And I'm so thankful to God that he encouraged my life. Son, be who you are in me. Always remember that. Don't just say, "Oh, be who you are." In me. Because we can get real defiant real fast. "Oh, I'll be who I am. I'm my own man." No, you're not. You are not your own. You're his. So I'm going to be who he has made me. In him. Right? Praise the Lord. And what a truth that is. See, I'm finding that he will only fill the vessel that he has provided. Did you hear that? He's going to fill the vessel that he has provided. Not one that you want to give him. Because the Word of God tells us that we are his workmanship. He is the potter. And I am the clay. Everything. He's molding me and making me after the will of God. And then he fills that vessel. You talk about an all-encompassing God. And so for us, brothers and sisters, it is about magnifying Him. Praise, honor, and glory to Him. All right, let's take 12 through 14. Let's go at it. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. It's going to be there. It's going to happen. Not that might try you. That might be there to, it's to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. Uses strange in there twice. So there's some emphasis going on. But rejoice. Rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. That when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Brother Peter really got this, didn't he? Praise the Lord. It took a long time. I appreciate this, brother. He tried. He tried of himself over and over, didn't he? You think about those Gospels. There wasn't a disciple written about as much in those Gospels as Peter. Mentions him again in Acts. Unfortunately, again in Galatians. Took him a long time to be a vessel that God could write His Word through. But you know what the most important thing is? Yeah, we got to start. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And when God does the work, He always finishes it perfectly, doesn't He? Praise God. I love what He's doing here. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Now, you can look at those verses and you can take out suffering and strange and all those things. But you know what's starting to hit me? It's glory and glory and glorified. It's all in how you look at it. It's all in what eyes are you allowing Him to bring to you here. I remember some years back, there was a gentleman that asked kind of questioned this verse. And he compared it to a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. That's Hebrews chapter 12, 11. I'll read it to you. And you'll remember it. Now, no chastening. Because you've read this to yourself many, many times. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Huh? Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And he was just trying to be argumentative. And he said, so which one is it? Is it happy or is it grievous? It's both. It's both. But I also told him, I said, you know, it's really talking about two different things. The trial, brothers and sisters, it is always grievous. That's what a trial is. It's something that tests you. It's something that's trying. It's something that comes upon us that's going to press. But the glory that is to that is being stored away is to our eternal benefit. And that's, I believe, Romans 5:3, where it says that we can glory in tribulation also. See, that's how it's done. It's understanding the purpose of the suffering. See, I can't help and be rejoicing and being happy when I understand and have faith in God's plan, because it always brings the joy of the plan of God, which is His love for me. And you think about the plan of God in your life. What is the plan of God? Well, we could talk about it in a lot of different ways, but I'm going to tell you how He brought it to me. He said, son, go take up your cross. That's the plan of God. He said, take up the cross. And that's surrendering to God's plan, brothers and sisters. Just as our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He surrendered to the plan of God and put Himself upon that cross. And He did. And He allowed Himself. He gave up the ghost. Do you understand? That was very God, a very God there. He had to will Himself to die. Oh, yes. And by the grace of God, he's asking us, will you go? Will you go? Huh? Praise God. It's in the offering here. Hallelujah. And then once we pick up that cross, we walk the path by grace through faith. Empowered by what? All along by the Holy Ghost. We know that. And we endure all things because of the joy that was set before us, which is Him. Praise God. That the Spirit itself, we'll go into Romans 8 and quote a verse here, that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. An heir of God as a child, but a joint heir with Christ. You know, that's one of my favorite words. It probably is my favorite word almost. Sunc Laurentimus. Remember that? Joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. It couldn't be any more clear. It couldn't be any more direct. Christians are heirs of God. His wife is someone who willingly will suffer jointly together with Him. Absolutely. That will allow these tribulations to work effectually. To say, Lord, Thy will be done. This is where we're at, brothers and sisters. I believe that we are in a time of the greatest pressing in your entire life. I know you're tired. I do. I know that you're being pressed out of measure to where you're basically getting to be despairing of your own life, aren't you? Oh, yeah. Things are going on. No, the thing is going on. Jesus is coming. Oh, yeah. And He's going to finish it perfectly. And these ones that will be loving and looking for His appearing, they're going to be fully tested. They're going to be fully tried. They're going to be the mature sons of God that have grown up fully in all things into the very image of Him. See, when we know this, brothers and sisters, these trials don't seem strange anymore, do they? I know exactly what that's happening for. Oh, and that one? Thank you, Jesus. Is it coming to that? I think it is, isn't it? And you never thought you'd ever get there. But you're realizing how much He loves you, aren't you? I'm just giving my own testimony. Lord, I could have never imagined. I've seen a glimpse of the man I hope to be. There isn't, I hope, a hair that's not standing all over your body right now. What faith can do, brothers and sisters, Christ's suffering brings us His glory. It said here, the very Spirit of glory. Glory's got a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And He's here to do one thing. Taking the things of Christ and making them mine. What was the greatest thing of Christ that He did? It was that suffering. It was that life that He gave. That's the greatest wealth that He ever gave to man, was He gave His life. And the opportunity to jointly share in that. He said He wants us to be glorified together with Him. And it's not the child. It's the mature son. I think we'll stop. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you. Really, we just kind of stand in awe. Lord, just ask that your words of life just truly quicken us to the abundant life that you want us to possess. Lord, you said in your word that the wife hath made herself ready. God, help us to take the things of the Holy Spirit, to be operating and functioning and living and rejoicing and praising you as your bride-to-be. Lord, your coming is soon. May we continue to look up. May we not grow weary in well-doing. May we truly just cry out and say, even so, Lord, come quickly. Because we want to see you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for this time. We thank you for hearts that are crying out to you. Praise you, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen.